So it's not out of order for us to pray for our healing. And James says, you know, to call the elders of the church, and that term means leaders, not necessarily the older people, but an elder in that sense means the leadership of the church, the preachers or the leaders that, you know, you have confidence in, to call them. And the Bible said they'll anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith to save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. How many knows that's still good in this day? Can you say amen? Yeah. So now we're going into another phase of this lesson, and if we title this, which we don't usually title our Sunday morning lessons, but I mentioned last time before we got into the healing, I jumped ahead, but we're going to talk about devotion of a disciple and show just a little bit the attitudes of a servant and what Christ expects of a servant, and how, you know, Jesus didn't use a lot of underhanded tactics to get people on board. He told them just like it was. He said, now this is the way it's going to be if you're going to be my disciple or follow me. And here's the life that the disciple lives. And so he says, now when Jesus saw a great multitude about him. Now notice this. When Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Now, you know, he ordered his disciples to go over, get out of the great multitude. And, you know, I might mention this here before we go this scribe that came up and kind of made a commitment to the Lord. But I want you to notice this and I don't know if this is what stirred that next verse says. Now get this. A certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now notice this. He had been in the presence of the Son of God. He had heard him teach, saw him heal the sick, and it generated in him an enthusiasm. Have you ever seen that? How about in revival? See somebody get really emotion. And emotions are part of our life. But, you know, if they're not based on real true commitment, they'll burn out real quick. You know, you'll jump real high and say, I'll never. Hey, how many knows what I'm talking about? And I've told that old story many times about that boy that told that girl how much he loved her, wrote her this long letter and told her that, you know, her eyes were bluer than the sky and how sweet she was, sweeter than honey, and how that he would swim raging rivers for her and climb high mountains. And then at the end he said, P.S., I will come to see you Friday if it does not rain. Huh? So really, he did not have a real commitment, did he? And it's something how the Lord, when Peter come to the Lord and he said, Jesus asked him a question. Do you know Jesus did ask a lot of questions? Have y'all noticed that? And so he asked Peter a question. He'll question us. You know, when we say something, that don't mean he buys it. He may ask another question after that. He asked Peter, he said, do you love me? That'd be a good question to ask yourself today. Do I love the Lord? Well, you know that is the first commandment, don't you? Love the Lord thy God. Huh? Somebody say amen. I know I've done preached to you 20 minutes, but I'm still feeling pretty good. He said, do you love the Lord? I was just asked that question here this morning. Do you? Notice, this scribe, how many knows a scribe was, you know, he wrote down the scriptures and, you know, worked in the house, in the temple, in the house of God, and he's a pretty sharp dude. And he come and he saw them all, you know, the multitude gathered around. And, you know, really, I'd like to see a revival of a mass like that. But, you know, we may not see that. Most time you see a crowd, there's something wrong going on, something bad going on. The majority is not going to heaven. How many knows that's true? But, you know, when they got stirred at Jesus, sometimes we can have revival and the fires will burn. People come to watch things go on, see what's going on. And so they crowded him around. And notice what Jesus did. He ordered his disciples. You know, those 12, and he said, come on, we're going to leave. Well, when the scribe realized that the Lord was getting ready to go to the other side, I'm assuming, you know, sail across the sea or whatever, get away from this multitude in the sense. Evidently, and I don't know how to explain the deity of Christ and the humanness of Christ, but he was both. I didn't get a lot of amens there. I said he was both. He was God in the flesh. You understand that? He was never not God. Amen? And so, but you know, when they pressed upon him, you remember one place the crowd came and he told Peter, he got in Peter's ship and said, cast out a little bit. He got out away from the crowd where he could be more effective and where he could preach to the whole. And then there's times when he realized, amen, that his disciples, and you know, Christ got tired. How many knows he did? You ever read that in the Bible? Where him being weary, sat up on a well? How many knows it's in there? And so he, you know, those disciples around him and he called them off. Evidently, he felt it would be the more advantageous for what he was doing if he pulled his disciples out. Amen. How many knows that there are times that we need to pull away? I believe in group prayer and congregational prayer and prayer services and prayer meetings at church. But, brother, if we do not have that private place with God, then none of that rest is going to do much good. And even after you pray through the Holy Ghost or pray in the congregation and give the Lord the praise in the congregation, and that's all biblical. There's times when you leave there, if you don't take something out of this church house that you can take to your private home and your private life and your private closet, you don't have enough. Ain't that right? Come on now, church, help me. I'm gonna give me 15 more minutes and we'll go eat some chicken or something. But I want to preach to you just a little. Now notice the zeal in this scribe's life. He said, Lord, and brother, he said it, didn't he? He said, I'll follow you whithersoever you go. How many's made that commitment to the Lord? I commit myself to that. You know, really, these people up here, Brother Buck, preaching, praying for the Holy Ghost. And there's no manual to read. There's the Bible. But you'll get this. You and God, seeking God on his terms. And he'll deal with your heart. And he'll draw you in. And he'll baptize you just like he promised. It's a promise. You know, I say it's a promise. How many knows that most of the time people do not get the Holy Ghost just coming and begging God to give them something? They come believing God's going to give them something. And they worship God in the Spirit. Now, you may start like that. And you may be start God. But I remember the night I got the Holy Ghost. I didn't go to church to seek the Holy Ghost. I never heard of it. I came to church, and in the process of prayer, I got touched in my heart of what God had done for me when he saved me and saved my companion and saved our lives. And I got so touched by the love of God's people praying for us and caring for us that I just began to weep and praise God. And then somebody slipped in with a little counsel and said, you know, if you'll raise your hands and worship God, he'll bless you. And I thought, that's the best deal I've ever heard of. If that's all I have to do. And I began to praise the Lord and bless the Lord and the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what, God is looking for a commitment. He is not going to give you his Holy Ghost if you're not committed to go where he said go and do what he said do. Now, come on. Y'all can say a little bit more amen than that. But I want you to know what he said right here. He said, this is what Jesus said when this man spoke up and said, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, now here's what the Son of God said to him. Now I want you to, what do you think he meant by this? The foxes have holes and the birds have the air have nests. But the Son of Man, and you know, Jesus loved to call himself the Son of Man. He said, the Son of Man, and you know, I don't know exactly, I don't know all about that, Brother Jason, why he called love, but I believe the Son of God, when he was here, he wanted people to realize the connection that he had with them. Amen. I am a Son of Man. I am here with you. I have become like you, in a sense. You understand what I'm saying? And I am here to die for you. I am a friend of sinners. I am your brother. I am your friend. I am going to be here as your hero to rescue you. That's the only way I can save you, is to come down and become a man like you. And so he said, the Son of Man. Now I want you to know, if you've studied your Bible, amen, I know you know that Jesus did at one time have a house. He wasn't born out in the yard, you know, and just stayed in the yard all his life. He had a home. He was raised by Joseph the carpenter and Mary, his wife. He was a carpenter himself. He had a place to live. If you remember, two of John's disciples followed him all the way to his house one day. How many remembers that? He said, where do you dwell? And the Son of God said, come and see. But here's a transition. Jesus had left that house. He was going out on the road, and he wanted them to know, hey, man, before you sign up, I want you to know the condition. Foxes have, you know, their dens, and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man had what? No place to lay his head. Now, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I don't know what we expect sometimes when we come down here to the altar and give our life to the Lord, and he issues our armor, Brother Mark. He says, here's your shield, here's your sword, here's your helmet, and then we're all shocked when we go to battle. What? I'm going to have to fight? Well, what do you think? You're going to play in the NCAA tournament? Huh? He gave you armor. We got to fight. If you make it, you will fight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Hey, he wanted to know, look, if you join up here, I want you to know, you want to follow me? I believe, Brother Jason, that God saw this man's heart, and I think he realized this man had not counted the cost. He did not know what he was into. He looked, I'm getting ready to leave. This is not a prestigious. The man saw the whole crowd following him, and they thought, Brother Robert testified years ago about a man that he worked with that told him, he said, you know, it kind of shocked Brother Robert. And the man said, you know, I'm going to quit my job. I'm thinking about preaching. And Brother Robert knew he wasn't even a Christian as far as he knew. But the man said, I'm thinking about going into the ministry. And he said, he just admired the way people went down and to the funerals with people and stood by them and preached weddings and was there with people in their crisis hours. And he said, I hear the money's pretty good too. And I remember Brother Robert said, he looked at him and said, look, at lunch, we need to talk. Huh? Come on now. We need to have a little talk. That's not the way it is. This man probably looked around and saw, amen, the multitude and saw the healing. And, you know, it was. You remember when Jesus came down to Jerusalem and they were laying palm branches in his way and they were a kingdom and one was jumping up. Can I be at your right hand when you come into your kingdom? Man, they thought about King Herod being toppled. Jesus sitting on the throne. Amen. But, brother, that's not the way it is. Amen. But he said, look, I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have the comforts of life. Amen. Sometimes I think, amen, we get the wrong impression. We look out there at somebody pastoring a church, amen, wearing a suit and tie, amen, and saying, boy, it must be good. Amen. They don't realize the burden of the Lord and, amen, the trials they go through. They'll look at an evangelist going down the road with a big trailer and they say, well, that's an eternal vacation. Amen. But they don't realize the foxes and the birds sometimes have it better than those servants of the Lord. Whoo, I feel like preaching a little bit here this morning. I'm going to quit here in just a few minutes. But he said, amen. Now notice this. Now I want you to notice the Lord was looking for a commitment in their lives. And he's looking for that in you. I said, he's looking for that in you. You say, well, if I commit to the Lord, you know, I don't think I can live like that, or I don't want to have to give this up. Or, you know, you can trust God. If you commit your life to, I'm afraid he might make a preacher out of me. Oh, come on. Just commit to the Lord and trust him. If God wants to make a preacher out of you, that's the best thing your life could be. If God wants to make just a hard worker out of you, and you know, sometimes when you get the idea that preachers are against work. That just aggravates me. You got to work if you eat. The Bible teaches that, doesn't it? Huh? That's not it at all. It's priorities, brother and sister. Hey, you say, well, I'm afraid if I'll commit to God that I won't get to work my job. And come on, God's all for it. He'll make you a better worker. He'll make you more sensible and get your priorities right. Hallelujah. Ain't that right? Don't be afraid to commit to the Lord, but the Lord did want him to know, amen, that it's not like you think, amen. You're going after it for the wrong reason. So he talked about a commitment, and notice this. This may be hard for you to understand, but listen to what he said next. Another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer, which means to allow me first to go and bury my father. Now this may be a little hard, but Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Now you say, well, you mean the Lord didn't want this guy making funeral arrangements and burying his own dead daddy? Now, I personally don't think that's exactly what that means. Exactly. Huh? You know, I don't know, maybe the man thought, and you know, it's not the commentary, and I know this is, but you know, maybe the man thought, you know, he may have thought, I want to step, my dad's getting up in years, and he needs me, and if he'll just let me stay, and my dad's passed away, and I can get him buried, and don't have any other obligations, and my commitments are free. Well, how many understands that point of view? Huh? Oh, I tell you, I don't know what the people, Brother Bob, that I've seen, when this happens, I'll serve the Lord. Lord, I just can't. I even had one poor guy, I loved him to death. But he said, you know, and he was a preacher and a good one. And he said, you know, I really think I can probably do more good if I just, you know, I got a knack for making money. And he said, I believe I can just make money and I can just still preach a little bit here and there. And I can give money to people and make it better for them. And that sounds great. That's not what God wanted him to do. So that's not great, is it? Isn't it about you? You say, well, I've got to do this or that. And that's what he was saying. Allow me to stay around till I get these obligations took care of. And you know what he said? He said, let the dead. In other words, now how can that be? How can a dead person marry a dead person? He wasn't talking naturally. He was talking spiritually. Let the spiritual dead, let those, hey, that's right, come on now, help me preach a little bit here. You know, there are some things, amen, that are ordained and are good, amen, that, you know, that are needed, like the police force and the military and things that are really a ministry of the Lord. How many knows the Bible teaches that those magistrates and those, God put them in place and powers to be for us to obey and use, hey, come on now, and appreciate our military that defends our rights and protects us. Can you say amen? But listen, amen, there's a higher call than that, and that is a call for the work of the Lord and to live for God. And Jesus was telling him, let those that aren't interested in the gospel, those that are not going to work as a disciple, let them take care of the funeral business, and you follow me. How many understands that? Put your priorities right. And here he said, but look at this. Let's go on, about done. He says, we need this commitment. We need to understand the commitment we make. Let him walk worthy of the vocation we're called. If you say Jesus abides in you, amen, you ought to walk as he walked. Amen. Look, you ought to sleep as he sleeps. You ought to do as he does. You got to realize when I make this commitment and surrender to God, God is expecting something out of my life. He says, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Well, it's been a long time now since I got saved. And as far as I know, I've never backslid. I never went back. I haven't been perfect. I'm not perfect right now. You understand what I mean? A lot of times when we look at that word perfect, you know, and the Bible does teach us to be perfect, but you study that word. Amen. That word does not mean that we, you know, I mean, my memory's got so bad. How can you be perfect when you can't remember? You say, what are you talking about? No, I'm not saying I can't remember who my wife is or who my children are or that I'm a preacher. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking, a lot of people look at the perfection like you never say anything wrong. You never do anything, you know, that's not perfect. But, you know, there was only one perfect man. Anybody know who he was? You know what they did to him? But look, God does expect us to go on unto maturity and fullness of Christ. And to be sanctified holy. The Bible says that. Amen. He doesn't want us to sin. Should we sin the more cause grace abounds? Should we sin the more? God forbid. God forbid that we go on sinning just because grace is in this world. But I'm glad that if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We don't practice it. We don't look for an excuse to do it. And by the grace of God. But I'll tell you, I've been saved these long years now. Amen. And there's been a lot of times to stop and bury the dead. There's been a lot of times to, you know, find an excuse to not go here or there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But, brother, listen, if we're going to make it all the way home, if we're going to make it all the way home, we're going to have to be committed to the Lord. Amen. And when he lays it out, here's what you got to do. Amen. Then we follow him on. And notice, they got in a ship. And next Sunday we'll talk about where this following leads. It don't always lead into the garden of grace. Sometimes it leads into a storm. Amen. But I'll tell you what, how many this morning, amen, will stand with me in this house? Amen. God bless you. Stand everywhere. How many in this house? Listen, we need a commitment, not to the church, not to our family. If you're just committed to your family and you're going to church, I'll tell you what, my kids are independent kids. I'll tell you, they don't come down here because I'm the pastor of this church. You understand what I'm saying? They're right with God because they decided. Now, if I've got a kid in here that's living for God because daddy is a preacher, amen, then when daddy dies or daddy is not here, they'll give it all up. Won't they do it? Brother, if you're going to live for God, you don't just live for God because if your family changes their doctrine, you'll change yours right along with them. We don't do it because Grandpa does it. Amen. We do it because the Bible said, and we're committed to God, and we're committed to Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? I'll give you this and we'll close. When Naomi left Moab, her husband and her two boys had died. All she had left in the world was two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. They loved her. Naomi was a good woman. They left out of the country. She had heard the story that there was bread again in Bethlehem, right? And so she left Moab bitter. I came back bitter, she said. But she had them two daughter-in-laws with her. They both loved her. They came to a crossroads. You will too. Orpah came to her and clung to her. Huh? She kissed her on the cheek. But then what'd she do? She turned around after a kiss. We got a lot of religions that are all smoochy smooch, but they don't stay. I'm going to tell you, religion's more than just jumping around and shouting. Huh? Now, I'm going to say this. If the real Spirit of God is jumping you and shouting you, then you are committed. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not against shouting and running, but some people can fake it. You say, boy, I like to shout so bad I can't imagine faking it. Well, it can be done. They can fake tongues. You say, well, boy, they'd have to have the devil to do that. You said it. But there is a real thing. But I'll tell you what, living for God is like in a sense, like a marriage. You don't get up there on your vows and say, as long as you stay cute, and as long as you're the woman that I like, and you don't cross me nowhere, then I'll stay with you. That's not what a commitment is. It's till death. And how many knows is death do us part? Y'all believe that? How many believes that here? Huh? You got to commit no matter what. If they get fat, let's get off of that. Okay? Or skinny. I'm glad you reminded me of that. Or if we get broke, if they lose their job, if they go bald. Huh? Or if somebody else comes along I think is a little sweeter, a little cuter. No way. It's a commitment. That's the way you do the Lord. You don't say, Lord, as long as you feather my nest, I'll follow you. As long as you fill my pockets, as long as I'm always healthy. As long as I like everybody, as long as the preacher don't rock the boat. Well, you know you'll never make it if you put that in there. Huh? Well, Ruth was a different person. If I remember right, she didn't kiss her at all. But she clave to her. Huh? She got a hold of her and held on to her and said, suffer me not to leave thee. Don't make me turn back. Let me go with you. My God shall be your God. Your God shall be my God. Amen. I want to go. And you know how many knows that she went all the way? And how many knows that she married a man named Boaz? And how many knows that he had a son? And he had a son. And he had a son. And there's David and the lineage of Christ. You look at Christ's lineage and you're going to see a little Moabite girl in there. What's her name? I said, you look at it. Oh, we get so sanctified sometimes. I've lived for God all my life. Not true. You say, yes, it is. You got saved somewhere. Huh? We look at the genealogy of Christ and we see, and there's some other women in there that's not real good reputations. Come on now. How about Rahab? Remember her? They're in there. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you know why Ruth is in that lineage? Because she committed herself to what she knew was right. Are you committed today? Is a little rain going to keep you away from God? Is a little trial going to keep you from serving God?